I am pleased to welcome another fine Dutchman in the studio. Peter, how are you, sir?
Just fine, thank you.
And you're from the Refugee Center. Get nice and close to that microphone, kind of switch it around there, yeah.
All right.
I usually have Patrick manning things, but he's making copies for four hours today.
No problem.
You guys are very busy over at the Refugee Center.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of activities going on. We've got, we just completed a celebration of World Refugee Day. We're working with the Boilermaker for the International Mile coming up this
which is awesome.
July.
That is great. One of the biggest, the best additions they made to the race in recent years.
We really enjoy working with MVCC and Excellus Blue Cross on that event. It's a fantastic partnership with the Boilermaker and really, you know, highlights who we are as a community, the diversity of our community.
It's such a melting pot these days.
Yes, it
is. You know, back in the day, it used to be the Italian Irish.
Yeah,
that was our immigrant population.
Right.
Now it's all over the world.
All over.
How many different ethnic cities?
Groups.
Groups. There you go. Yeah. Ethnic groups. Do we really have in Utica?
Well, that's a really good question. I know through the center we've worked with over 30 different ethnic groups that have come through the center in the last 30 years. But you know, some of those are rather small populations. But you know, the Latino population is growing.
Yeah.
The Bosnian population. While they're not new Bosnians coming, but, you know, they're a significant portion of the community. And these days, the largest group that we're working with are people who come from Burma, a lot of the ethnic Karen from Burma.
Yeah. And how are they adapting? How hard is it for somebody to come in and adapt to a new culture, a new country? And
well, think about yourself. You know, if you've ever traveled overseas and gone to other places and the challenges you might face in terms of understanding, you know, some of the basic things that we take for granted,
like road signs, stop signs, general chatter that you hear
Absolutely.
Throughout the day.
Absolutely, I've lived overseas for many years, and so I know the challenges they can face. Yet their desire to try to figure out how to live in our country and our community is amazing to watch.
And where have you lived overseas?
I've actually been in the Middle East for about 20 years.
Wow,
so
really?
I've got some connections to the Middle East. Yeah.
That's got to be a big change.
Yeah, I mean, I went to an American school in Cairo, so that was my upbringing. My dad was a missionary, lived overseas for many, many, many years. And so I was there, and when I came back to the U.S. to go to college, it was kind of a bit of a culture shock.
I bet.
Hope College in Holland, Michigan. So it was like, whoa, what am I in for here?
Is it as crazy as everybody thinks it is? Because I personally, I don't think I would ever imagine traveling to the Middle East.
Yeah, you know, people have this, we hear a lot of things in the media and they have all these concerns. The reality is your personal safety is rarely, if ever, an issue in the Middle East.
Really?
Crime rates are very, very low. So, yeah, I mean, I would walk downtown Cairo, a city of 20 million at 3 o'clock in the morning and really not think twice about it. It's not something that I'd be concerned about doing. So, but, you know, the traffic is nuts. I mean, when my wife's parents came to visit, they said, yeah, we were worried about what might happen to you personally, some crime or whatever, but what we're really worried about is you getting hit by a car.
Yeah, really? I bet. So, it looks like it would be a little hairy. So highlight what you guys do at the Refugee Center.
Sure. We work with the number of different partners. Obviously, the U.S. Resettlement Program is a program of the federal government. Every year, the president, in consultation with Congress, decide how many refugees from what regions of the world will come. And then the State Department is tasked with making that happen, and the Office of Refugee Resettlement and Health and Human Services provides a lot of the logistics and financial support for the program. So our partnership is through Lutheran Immigration Refugee Service, which contracts with the State Department. And so every year we help anywhere up to 500 people come to the area. We've been doing this for 30 years. Nearly 14,000 people have come through the center. And I think the thing to really highlight is this is a homegrown program. This is a program that started right here. Roberta Douglas, our first executive director, it was her brainchild, along with the support of four local pastors. Sherry Bullard was heavily involved at the time. So it's a program that started here in Utica and then worked with the federal government to make this happen.
People always kind of look to the refugee population first to point out some problems that we're facing as a state and as a country. What would you say to the people say that the refugees and immigrants are killing this country?
Yeah, I think what, you know, we're all immigrants at some point,
right?
Most of us. And we can trace back our heritage at some point in time from coming as an immigrant. A lot of us had very little when we came. A lot of us didn't know the language when we came. You think about, you know, my Dutch heritage, my in-laws came to the U.S. because of religious persecution in the Netherlands. They're very religiously conservative, did not fit in the Netherlands, and so they came to the United States. So most of us can do that. And we, you know, there's this interesting saying, our favorite immigrant is our grandmother. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, my great-grandmother lived in the U.S. for 40 years and never spoke a word of English. So, I mean, there's this kind of, we forget sometimes our history. And so it's very easy for us to turn and point at immigrants and refugees and say, you know, these are our problems. But the reality is though many, especially the refugees, are people who have faced untold problems, come here and make a huge difference in their lives and in our lives. And really, you know, I believe honestly that they contribute to who we are as a community.
Well, you know, the Bosnian population has really taken East Utica and just built it back up.
Transformed parts of it.
They're doing what the Italians did for the city way back when in the olden days.
Exactly. Yeah.
And for people to say, you know, I think it's easy for people to point to the immigrant population and to blame them for some of our problems because they don't have really that voice out there.
Exactly, right. And this is something that we really work with is try to, you know, obviously educate the local community, help them understand who a refugee is that comes to Utica. But we also work with the Bosnians and other communities to say, you know, how can we help you begin to build a life and contribute to who we are? The other thing, too, is I think a lot of that misunderstanding comes from terrible rumors out in the community about what refugees get and don't get.
Yeah, it's like, somebody gets like $15,000 just to move to Utica, and they get it for free. They just give it.
Exactly.
That's not true.
It's not true at all. We're given, we at the center are given through the State Department $1,100 per person to spend on their behalf when they first come for first month's rent.
Yeah,
security deposit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
First month's rent, you got to do first month's security deposit.
Yeah.
And usually by that time, you're wiped out after that.
There's not a whole lot of resources. So, I mean, it's really, you know, it's really challenging. They do because they, like every other low-income individual that comes in, are eligible for the same services as other low-income individuals. And they pay taxes from the day they arrive, just like the rest of us, right?
They're not tax-exempt their whole lives
move? No, not at all. Not tax-exempt. They work 2-3 jobs. They save their pennies. They buy houses. They invest in our
community. They open businesses.
Huge Cambodian. Street, man.
You ever been to the Lowe's Garden? My man Sam down there. Cambodian in town.
Great restaurants.
It's really transforming. Bleecker Street has become a huge cultural melting pot for restaurants.
Absolutely.
It's not just Italian down there.
Nope.
You got Cambodian, Vietnamese. There's a Bosnian place around there.
Yep.
So if you want good food.
Yeah. Not only that, you know, I mean, Rochester actually came and did a whole spot, the newspaper, on eating in Utica.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Yep.
And they came out and they did a whole spot, and they're encouraging people from Rochester to get off the thruway in Utica and check out the cuisine availability and down on Bleecker Street. And,
it's unbelievable. Just the transformation, you could go from the Lotus Garden and get some delicious pad thai and then go right down to the Florentine to get your traditional Italian pastry.
Right, exactly.
Where else? You can't do that in New Hartford. You can't do that in Clinton. You could do it right here in the city.
Right. Yeah, I know it's been fun to watch. I've been here 9 years now, and watch the transformation of Bleecker Street in that 9 years has been phenomenal to watch.
Well, you know, really, they repaved the road. Mm-hmm. That was a big, huge paving project that really needed to be done. And it encourages these businesses to move in.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've heard people, I want to drive down Bleecker Street. It's like, no, go check it out. Drive down Bleecker Street and see what's happening. It's looking like what it did when the Italians started transforming Bleecker Street, 50 years ago.
What's the biggest obstacle that the refugee immigrant population is facing?
Well, obviously, you know, learning English is a major necessity when you come in. You have to function in English in the U.S. And so we work very closely with the Utica City School District. They have adult education classes right at the center where we're teaching English to 200-300 people at any given time, trying to help them gain English skills so they can be functional and successful in our community. And they're really determined. I mean, one of the things I brought with me, I'd like to read if I can.
Absolutely.
Is,
my pleasure.
Couple from some of the classes, some of the things that they've said about who we are as Utica, right? And the title is Why I Like Utica. And a couple of, one of them here is Utica is a small city. It's very beautiful here. We can find different kind of people from different countries following different cultures and having their own languages, different dresses, etc. Although many people live together, they have a good relationship, and this is due to the people of Utica, who are familiar and good to all. In comparison to other states, Utica has a good environment. Many small children get a golden opportunity to get to go to school, so it also knows the availability, what's important about quality education. The housing in Utica is affordable, and many people come to Utica due to good health care. Utica is a very beautiful place for living, although we can find different people having their own races, cultures, religion, and languages. Due to less traffic, people are likely to live in Utica. You know, think about, I mean, I got another one to read here, but think about what, you know, what they're saying about who we are as a community. Wouldn't it be great if we all had that same
constant
language about who we are? Here's one that says, why I like Utica is because Utica is a very beautiful city and also a small city. I also have many things inside you. There are also many things inside Utica. It also has a beautiful weather. In the summertime, you can see a good environment, and also you can smell fresh air and safe to live in this place. Moreover, we have nice people who help us and very thoughtful. If we compare it to other places, Utica's housing, food are all affordable, and also we have a good opportunity to study English language and learn more about other cultures. We also have good health care, so we don't need to worry about life in the future. I think Utica is a very beautiful and more beautiful than other cities.
That's nice to hear.
Isn't it great?
You can't get a lifelong resident of the city of Utica to say something nice like that.
Sometimes, yeah. So, I mean, what we find ourselves doing in many, many different walks, wherever we go, we talk about what an amazing community we have here in Utica. And we really highlight all the positives. It's not to say that there aren't challenges. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we've got, you know, we are, we're a diamond in the rough. Right? This place has incredible opportunities in the future. And so we're excited as an institution to be a part of that.
So why don't you talk about the International Mile for the Boilermaker? Sure. It's coming up. Everybody's talking about the Boilermaker.
Yep.
What is it? 17, 16 days, something like that.
It's coming up really, really,
really
fast.
Really fast.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be on the mile again. We've got, between mile marker 1 and 2, we've got 10 different, performers lined up. We got some new acts this year. We're going to make sure we get some African drumming out there. We also have the Burmese community coming out to join us again this year. We got some of the same familiar acts. We also are going to have a bagpiper, we hope, along the mile. So it's just, you know, it's really a reflection of the diversity of the community here, but it's also a reflection of the diversity of the runners that
run.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I forget how many different countries are represented. I think
lots.
It was like 34.
Something, yeah. I don't know exactly the number.
Something like that, but there's a ton.
Yeah. And MVCC, you know, along the mile there has been a wonderful partner with us. They're located right there. And this year, Excellus Blue Cross, once again, is sponsoring the International Mile team that runs in the Boilermaker events. So that's a wonderful partnership with everyone involved.
And if anybody wants to get involved with the Refugee Center, what can they do to help you guys out?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost is have some patience when you encounter people in the community, right? I mean, that's a huge one there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just have some patience and help people out.
I get so mad when somebody just is so disrespectful to somebody that, you know, maybe English isn't their first language and they don't understand really what's going on. But you know, people being rude to somebody doesn't make them the situation any better.
Right. You know, we have as a nation a history of being welcoming.
Yeah.
We have a history of you know, being tolerant and of immigrants that come to our community, and you know, that's, I think, the first thing to do is let's show the best of who we are. You know, let's really demonstrate what we are made of. And that's the first thing. Secondly is at the center, we have a lot of volunteer opportunities. You can help teach English, help people with, one of the biggest fascinating programs we work with is citizenship and helping people go through the process of applying for citizenship, passing the test, and then going through the ceremony. And if you haven't had a chance, go see a ceremony one of these days. They are.
Well, my God,
help
you
us
know,
understand what we take for granted.
Yeah.
And what the refugees and immigrants
I
have
could only
worked
imagine.
So hard to achieve.
You know, I would like to see somebody out there take a, you know, the complaint is they don't know our culture. Why don't they adapt to us? And it's, I want to see somebody out there take one of those citizenship tests, you know, and see how well they do.
A lot of them have a real struggle.
Because I'd probably be kicked out of the country. They'd probably say, well, are you sure you've been born and raised here your whole life? Get out of here.
Yeah,
to Canada with you. No, please.
Yeah. There's another thing that's coming up that I encourage all of the listeners and others to become involved in. In October, 13, 14, 15, we, along with Hamilton College and Utica College and Colgate University, the Munson-Williams Proctor Art Institute, and many, many other partners, are hosting a conference, a film festival, and an arts festival.
Wow.
Along Genesee Street, at the Uptown, in the at the Munson-Williams Proctor Art Institute, in the DeSales Center. We've got over 55 films already that have been submitted. We've got a conference on integration and the challenges around integrating immigrants and refugees. And then the arts component of it, we got Chris Kogut, who's a phenomenal photographer with art photos from Burma being on display at the
that's going to be something to see.
It's going to be, you know, it's a celebration of who we are as a community. It's a conversation around the challenges and the opportunities. So I encourage everyone. It's called Unspoken. If you want a little more information.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes. I've heard a lot. Yeah. So much about this. The arts community is really excited about this.
And check out www.iamunspoken.com.
Yeah, that's going to be a big event.
That's a big event.
That's a nationwide kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, we're trying to attract nationally. You know, we have the community here has a national and international reputation. And so what we're trying to do is attract people to come to Utica and see what we're all about. And to have a frank and open discussion about, you know, what works, what doesn't work, challenges and opportunities, and how immigrants and refugees in particular, can be a part of our future.
I feel rude sometimes because I see the burqas that some of the women win, and they're so fascinating in their designs and how intricate some of the patterns are. Yeah. So I'm staring at him, and I feel like, you know, I feel like they're going to look over and go, oh, look at this guy. He's just staring at me like I'm different or something like that.
Yeah.
But I want to walk up and say, I'm not trying to be rude and stare at him, but it's just fascinating to see how the different cultures interact with each other.
Yeah, they do. Well, that's the thing, you know, at the center, we have a mini United Nations practically. We have all these different language groups. Yep. You know, we got students from Hamilton and Colgate and Utica colleges coming down, you know, and participating and helping out, sitting alongside and working with someone from, you know, some of the, as you talked about, the conservative, you know, different religious traditions that are here. But, you know, really what it really comes down to is opening your mind, being willing to have a conversation, learn from individuals, find out who they are. And what we find is when your life is transformed when you get to know a refugee who comes to the United States, you yourself are transformed, because what you witness and you see is the resilience of the human spirit.
Exactly.
And that is what it's all about. And that's what I think, you know, the opportunity that we afford, and it's a very small number of individuals that come to the U.S. relative to the total number of refugees worldwide. But that opportunity, you know, they embrace that opportunity, and it's so incredibly heartfelt and meaningful to them.
Yeah.
And it becomes meaningful to us. And it transforms your life, and you begin to look at what does it mean to have liberty and justice for all, right? What we say in our own pledge. What does this really mean? And who are these individuals that we're including in that statement?
You wouldn't be rude to your grandmother, you wouldn't, you know, put your grandmother down.
Absolutely.
So just because if somebody's from a different country, speaks a different language, why be rude to them?
Exactly.
And then, you know, and if it wasn't for the immigrant population, Oneida County's numbers would have taken a dip.
Yep.
And, people have got to realize that. And there may be some problems.
Yep. There are always
challenges. But there's always challenges with any group that you have.
Yeah. I listen to the Italians talk about the challenges they face when they first came.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
The Irish and the Poles, same thing. We all had challenges as emerging immigrant groups and communities. But overall, you start looking at, you know, first, second, third generations.
Yep.
We're all, you scratch very deep, and we all have the same background.
When I hear somebody say, we should put a no vacancy sign on the Statue of Liberty, I want to actually slap them in the face.
Yeah,
It kills me that bigotry like that could still exist in this country.
It's really unfortunate, isn't it? It's very unfortunate.
It's just, you know, ignorant people, I guess, with ignorant minds. Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And for more information on the Refugee Center, where can they check that out?
MVRCR.org. MVRCR.org. And IamUnspoken.com are the two areas that, you know, I encourage you to take a look at.
Excellent. And we'll all be out there watching for the International Mile. It's something different. You talk to a bunch of runners, they love it.
They love it.
Because they're still fresh and they can still enjoy it once they get down there.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.
It was my pleasure. And